Welcome to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass with Brett Henderson, founder of Strategic Wealth Endeavor. We've created a community of veteran entrepreneurs just like you who are ready to help you succeed. Our podcast provides expert advice and resources so you can overcome any obstacle in your way. With the help of Brett and veteran guest experts, you can build a battle-ready business mindset to take your company to the next level. Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. Now, on to the show.
Brett Henderson is a financial advisor, but that means more than just hanging out a shingle. It comes with understanding people and a commitment to values and the processes that create a bond with clients. Brett, along with Giselle Kaimi, founded Strategic Wealth Endeavor with values and process at the core. Now, Brett has achieved several designations to support the mission of the firm, and he is an independent advisor. I'm Patrice Sikora. Brett, let's start with the designations you hold. Why, and which one makes you the proudest?
Well, good morning, Patrice. Thank you, and happy to be here again. Why and which one? Well, let's chat about the why and where we are today and how we got there, and then we'll talk maybe about which one, but I probably won't do that, actually. I'll just say that since I started the business in 2004, my first designation was in 2006, another in 2008, and then a gap for a while, one in 2009, which I couldn't put on my card, so I let that lapse. And then, but the last 3-4 years, I've attained 4. So it's one of those things where I think, the further I get in my career, I think that shows I'm not just resting my laurels. I believe education is important, and continuing to improve and grow and build your skill set is necessary. And I'm 46 years old right now, and I feel like I'm in my prime. I have another 20 years to crank, so to speak. And so bearing myself in education, I truly believe knowledge is power. And whoever's listening to this podcast, no one actually cares what the actual letters mean, right? No one cares about the alphabet soup, but they care, if you're their advisor, that you care about education and you take your profession seriously and that you are striving for excellence. You're striving to provide the best outcome possible for your clients. That's what my clients care about. So no one cares about what the letters mean. What it does show, though, is that I'm committed to excellence and I'm committed to self-improvement and that I'm not resting on my laurels. So if there's anything to take away from the designation alphabet soup behind my name, it really is just that I believe in self-improvement. I believe in education. I believe in continuing to improve and building my skill set so I can provide the best service, the best value, and hopefully that leads to the best outcomes for my clients.
Well, I am going to press you. Which one are you proudest of? Which of these designations?
Well, I think the proudest. The CIMA, Certified Investment Management Analyst, is a mini CFA. And that was probably the hardest one. That was done at Wharton back in 2008. I had to go to a conference or a campus, actually, Merrill Lynch, when Merrill Lynch still existed on its own before they failed and Bank of America bought them in 2009. By 2008, there was a home study course, and I remember walking around my neighborhood with flashcards, literally I put a full day in studying and walk around with flashcards and trying to memorize things and doing questions on weekends. And it just wasn't fun, but you just power through it. And then you had an immersive class for a week where you sat there all day, 8 till 5. And then after dinner, you had to sit there and crank another 3-4 hours at night and then wake up in the morning and do it again. And to pass that, so that felt the best. So the CIMA felt the best. Probably the hardest one was the CLU, Chartered Life Underwriter. That's pretty much a master's in life insurance or master's in risk. And everyone's like, well, why did you get that? And the funny part, when I was at UBS, I was the only CLU I ever found or met at UBS. No one else had it. And I was like, why do you have that designation? Why did you take the time to do that? Why did you get that? Because I didn't make more money. I didn't pay more. And it took several years to attain it because it was voluntary. And I believe that someone's 401k is their future lifestyle insurance. For most Americans, the more is in their 401k, the better their future lifestyle is going to be. So for me, it was a natural progression to attain the CLU because it's about risk management. And if you work your whole life and save your whole life and you want to have the certain lifestyle, when you want to protect her and make sure that there's not some random event that's going to pop out of nowhere and impact it. So I think it was a natural progression for me as a 401k consultant to have the risk or the skill sets in the area of risk to manage that risk, to provide better outcomes for our clients. So it's funny digression. When I was at UBS, there was a financial planning specialist and they're the risk specialist. Oh, the insurance specialist. Great. And I met with them and I looked at him and he was a CFP and a certified financial planner. That's a nice designation. Yes, it's hard to attain. And yes, it takes some time. It's only 5 modules. The CLU was 8 modules. Mm-hmm. And of the 5 modules in the CFP, 1 is insurance. For the CLU, 8 is risk. So I was more qualified than he was. And this was my expert, so to speak. Now, they had more maybe street experience. I had more book experience. And that's the challenge. You have the book knowledge, then you have to apply it. And so I still may have the credential. That's a great word. Professional accreditations and acumen. However, I know what I know and I know where my experience is. And I know when to reach out to those other professionals who are deeper in the space every day and are executing in that space every day versus the new college grad that comes out with a couple letters with no experience, right? Do you want that brand new heart surgeon that just graduated their boards, or do you want the one that's been doing it 30 years, right? And so has more experience. So I even know when to reach out to build my own bench to provide better outcomes for our clients. I know where my area of expertise is and I know where it's not, and I know when to build the team. So the least favored designation was the CLU. However, that's the most impactful, I think, as far as helping our clients attain better outcomes. And more recently, the last one, which I just passed literally 2-3 weeks ago, is the CEPA, the Certified Exit Planning Advisor. And so if you look at the business cycle for any business owner, any entrepreneur, you have the initial startup phase where you're trying to figure everything out and you're getting kicked in the face every day. And then you have the kind of the normal, the business is set up, it's running, it's comfortable, it's profitable. You have your clients, your customers, you have your systems down, you have procedures down, you have your team down, HR is under control, everybody's happy, business is humming. And then you, okay, well, this is made a great life experience for me and I've had a great business and I've run the business. Now what's next in life for me? And do I pass it down to my kids or children or management team? Or if the management team isn't strong enough to run it, me a strategic buyer. So it's about the next cycle. And so having that skill set to work with an entrepreneur from inception through execution through exit is, for me, was just a natural progression of my skill set as I am now a veteran business owner. And I look at my own business with 20 years in the business. Where do I want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years? Is this something where Giselle wants to take over, or my son, who is now 5? Do I want to stay until he's 25 another 20 years and maybe see if that's a transition? So as I start to ask myself those same questions about my own business, I know there's other entrepreneurs out there asking themselves the same thing. And so if I can put myself in their shoes and I can truly be in their position, it helps me provide the best advice and guidance possible. So those are 3 of the 7 designations. And again, no one cares about how hot dogs made. They just want a hot dog, right? So I got an alphabet hot dog after my name. And as long as it tastes yummy and I like the cheesy jalapeno Johnson. Johnsonville. Oh, you don't like those, Patrice?
No. Just give me a hot dog.
Oh, those are the best ones.
With onions, mustard, and chili sauce on it. But
I digress.
Cheese, that's right. Yeah, cheese too. But there is one designation you didn't mention. The BFA.
Ah. Yeah. Yes.
Wait, so briefly tell us about that one.
And that's the froofy one. The froofy one's like, what is that? Never heard of that one. And the froofy one, I'm a kind of a froofy guy. When I go to Starbucks, someone asks, what do you want? Like, just give me a froofy coffee. And that's like caramel, frappa, vanilla, yum, something. Just make it yummy and froofy and full
large,
sugar.
Large, small, and medium figured out, though. Just
right?
That size, this one. But go ahead.
Grande. Well, now it's about budgeting, because you look in there like, oh, there goes my budget because it's so expensive now for a coffee. But we can digress.
BFA.
Sorry. So BFA, Behavioral Financial Advisor. And that takes a normal advisor, and what you're trained to do is meet with a client, ask a bunch of probing questions, find their pain, and then give them a solution to help solve the pain. And so here's where you are. Here's where you want to be. A, get to B. Well, the thing that's missing is who the person is. Everyone's A is not the same. Everyone has a different personality. Everyone has different life experiences. Everyone has a different goal of where they want to be and how they got to where they are. And I think people somehow, I don't know why, feel investing is logical. You do this, you do that, and you're going to have a certain outcome. Money is emotional, period. Money is emotional. And it's not everything I do is actually 90% emotion and 10% logic. The easy part's picking investments. That's the easy part. But understanding where someone is and who they are, where they want to go and why they want to go there, and what happens if they don't get there, and what they're risking. That's the biggest aspect, to understand the downside if we fail. Right. So that's why I'd rather measure not 3 times, 7, 8, 10, 20 times and cut once, to help minimize the opportunity for failure than anything else. But the BFA takes something into consideration that is not taught at the big firms, or was not, full disclosure, was not taught when I was there. And that's the emotional aspect, that behavioral aspect. And so it's about someone's values, understanding who they are and what drives them. And so we have a pretty, it's not my, I didn't develop it. I know in your opening, you're like, oh, we developed this. I didn't develop it, but I went through the course, went through designation, and they recommend Think to Perform. We can talk about that if anyone reaches out too. And they have cards, values cards. And so it's a cool exercise. We get a deck of several, I think it's over 60 different values, and you whittle it down. You cut the deck in half, what you like, what you don't, what resonates, what doesn't, then down to 20. And then down to 10, and then down to 5, and you get your top 5 values. And that really drives who you are. So I have my 5, Giselle's on the call too. She has her 5. So I think we can maybe chat about, or if you tell me if you want to chat about that or not. However, understanding a client's values is important to then take those values and incorporate those values into any investment advice or financial advice we provide. So if someone, for example, family's huge to them, and family's huge to me, I have a 5-year-old son. If family is an important value, and a question comes up, hey, I can invest in a commercial building and make some money, or I can invest in a vacation home and spend more time with my family and maybe rent it out when we're not using it. Wow. You told me that family is important to you. That's a value. So the commercial property may be financially more lucrative, but if you have a vacation home and you can spend more time with your family and that's important to you, my advice would be to generally probably obtain the vacation home where you can spend more time with your family. And full disclosure, that doesn't make me any money. I get paid no money if a client buys a second home. It's not how I earn a living. However, it's important to them and it's prudent for them. So that's the advice as a fiduciary you're going to give them, is do what's in their best interest and that meets their needs. So having that BFA, I think, has been a nice, what's the word I'm looking for? Patrice, you tell, you're better with words than I am. It just brings all together. What's it, accoutrement? Is that a French word?
It's glue. It's glue.
Yeah.
Bring it all together.
Yes. So that's been a nice one that I don't see any other advisors really obtaining. Maybe it's out there, but not a ton have it. And I agree. It is the glue that brings everything else together.
I love it. Now, Giselle, you go through this value cards business too. I mean, you've done the cards. You've got your top 5. But knowing values, you're the one who really works with the clients behind the scenes. Does this help you with your relationship with them?
Yeah, I would say it would. It's getting to know, it's someone I'm working with. They don't know me. I don't know them. So going through the client onboarding process with them, I'm getting to know who they are, their family, what they like, what's on their mind. Sometimes it turns into a rant session and they're just releasing stress. So I'm there with them. I listen. I'm a very good listener. So I think the values really does strengthen that relationship with myself and with Brett. Just, we want to get to know our clients and who they are and what drives them, what motivates them. And I think it's a very good start to a very strong relationship.
Tell us a little bit about what you do with the clients, especially through the onboarding. We're talking about processes here too.
Yeah. So I will hop on that phone call with them and just set expectations about what the onboarding process will look like. And it's a lot of forms, a lot of paperwork. So I let them know, hey, we can do this over the phone. I'll walk through the form with you. Or some clients do opt to just do the form themselves. And then I'll just pre-fill all the account forms for them, send it back to them. They review it, sign it. And then I'm back on the back end communicating with their back office and trying to get the account opened. Once the accounts are open, we move on to the welcoming phase. So we're sending out a client gift to them. The values cards comes in. So I'll write a little note letting them know, hey, thank you for choosing us to take you on this financial journey. We have a little activity that we want to take you through when it comes to developing a financial plan. We want to make sure that we provide a plan that is holistic and includes all parts of your life, financial and personal. And then from there, we'll set up a call with them, go through the values exercise, and then just have a conversation about it.
How long does this values exercise take, guys?
It doesn't take that long. Probably depends on the conversation too, where it leads, because there'll be a couple values like, oh, so why did you choose this? So it could be 30 minutes to an hour.
Especially when you have a couple. When you have a couple too,
exactly.
The husband does it, and you don't let them talk to each other before or while they're doing it. That way it's independent, but it's couples therapy, really, when you sit there, especially a marriage couple, because money is stressful and they go through it. And it's really cool to watch a couple go through it, because one spouse will have one set, the other will have another. There's always, not always, but yes, there's always actually overlap of one or two. And there's always a couple that are independent and they choose like yin and yang, and it makes them work as a couple. So it's kind of cool to see.
And when you see that, you get done your couples therapy here, you know, do you have to bring them together at the table, or is it just, okay, these are yours, these are yours, we'll deal with it?
Now, more it's like, that makes sense. So it's enlightening for both of them, where they're both like, oh, this explains this and this explains that. So it really actually, it helps them come together as a couple, and it helps clarify maybe why some thoughts or emotions or biases, because a lot of biases with money. And a lot of couples will have certain things where they talk about certain biases or challenges, and some things they hide and they think it's better not to discuss. And we all know what those are. So it's really impressive to actually sit there and watch a couple go through it and then come together and chat about it in front of us, right? I'm not a psychologist. I'm not at all. I feel like I am more than anything else, as I said, because money is 90% emotional and 10% logical. And understand the emotions and to build that rapport and build that relationship is very, very powerful to see.
You've mentioned UBS. You've mentioned Merrill. Those are big names. They were big names in one case. Wirehouses. But you're not with any big name right now.
No. Well, come on. My name's not big.
It's getting there. We're leaving room.
Right.
But you're an independent.
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Yeah. Well, with that.
What does it mean, first of all, and then why?
Sure. Well, what does it mean? So it means I'm not tied to any specific tool set or financial institution. I can choose to work with anyone I like. So I'm a free agent, so to speak. There's still compliance with licenses. So I have Series 7, Series 66, and there still needs to be compliance and oversight. So I do choose to work with a firm, actually a phenomenal firm, Independent Financial Partners. They've been very, very good to me since I've joined them 2.5 years ago. And we can have a whole podcast on them and what they do. However, I choose to be with them. They don't own my clients. I own my clients. When you work with a big firm, every time you sign paperwork, you're signing the firm's paperwork. So you build a relationship, but the firm owns it. And you're a W-2 employee. And so with myself, everything I have, I've decided with Giselle's feedback on what we want. So all technology, every piece of technology we own, or tech stack is what they call it in the industry, I have chosen. I have done the due diligence. I've done the research. I choose to use all the investment analysis. I choose. Now, we do have investment team within our back office at IFP, two real, real smart guys with designations that I don't have, the well, we can talk about that. I don't want to digress too much, but the back office is there and they have support. However, I choose to use them. If that relationship starts to be not ideal, I'll just say it that way, I can go wherever I want. And so everything we've built is what we feel is in the best interest of our clients. Every piece of technology, I feel, helps us provide the best experience and outcome for our clients. So it's all about choice. And we're driving the bus. The bus is not driving us. When I was with a big firm, this is just a personal feeling. There's a box the firm wants you to be in and stay in that box and just do whatever you can in that box. And the main thing is just to bring in money. The feeling was just bring in assets. That's all they care about. And the outcome didn't matter. It was just managing money, because that's how the firm makes money, is managing money. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was just clear after many years. It's one of those things, you start there and you're excited. I'm going to be here forever. And then you just get that happiness kind of chipped away. In reality, it's not what you think. And it wasn't my business. It was the firm's business. And if you have free thought and you try and think of a different way or think of how things could be better, more efficient or different, a feeling of being pushed back or no, just stay in your box. Just do what the firm wants you to do in this box. And when I was with Merrill, there was over, 14,000 advisors. And UBS, when I started, was 9,000. I think they're down to 7,000 now. That shows kind of what's going on there. But it is what it is. But now we drive the bus and we make the box. And if Giselle and I feel there's a better way of doing something, we can make those changes. If our clients give us feedback, hey, do this. We can change it. We drive it. We make the operations manual. It's our processes, our procedures, and we are completely in control of that. So every single thing we do is focused to try to help us position our clients to accomplish their goals. And I've never been able to do that more. At least emotionally, I feel I have never had more control than I do now, being independent to deliver that outcome.
Giselle, any thoughts?
Oh, you said it perfectly.
You never say anything I do is perfect. Come on.
I mean, for as long as I've been with you the last 2 years, it's definitely been a lot of trial and error. And I think we've gotten in a really good spot where we were confident in what we're doing. We're confident in the process and the feedback that you've been giving me and what the clients have been telling you just about us and the team have been really positive. And it's been good. So we're in a good spot right now.
Good. And about to grow, right? You're going to grow.
Yes, we're going to grow.
All right. Brett, we're kind of running out of time here, but
sure.
Any final thoughts?
No, I think this is a good one. So again, the why, I didn't even talk about my own values. So I'm just going to hit them real quick. Throw them out there. Mine are education, and having the seven designations, I think, shows that education is important. I think knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And that just speaks for itself. Loyalty. Ask Giselle. Giselle took care of me during COVID, and there were some challenging times. I am so loyal to those who helped me. It's amazing. And I'm so loyal to my clients. Even some aren't always nice and friendly, but we are incredibly loyal. We'll talk about that. And then integrity. Some people say honesty, and then as a Marine, especially integrity. And people, what's the difference between integrity and honesty? And I think honesty is telling the truth to others, but integrity is telling yourself the truth when no one else is looking. And I think honesty starts with integrity. If you have the ability to tell yourself when you could be doing better, when you're doing something wrong, when you're making a mistake, call yourself out, listen, learn, drive, improve, and move on. That's I think more important than even honesty. So having integrity first leads to always having honesty. And then family. I have a 5-year-old son, Lucas. I love him to death. Mom's still around. She drives me crazy, but she's still here. So family is huge for me, and watching my son grow and just watching him develop is amazing. And then the last value I have is excellence. And that's just something you strive for. I will share, I was a humble digression undergrad. Maybe I shared this in an earlier podcast. I had the lowest SAT score of anyone I ever met at Tulane. I had the lowest GMAT score of anyone I met in my master's program. Yeah, so I'm not the smartest guy, just genetically, boom, just gifted. However, I outwork majority of my peers. And I will make up for the educational, well, not educational difference, because that's you build that, but the just genetic brain power, which some of my peers have when you go to big institutions, they're just smarter people than you. And I like to surround myself with smarter people, which is easy for me to do because my SAT score wasn't that high. But I outwork most of them. So what comes easy for them, I put my head down and just barrel through it. And Giselle sees that. And some of my peers that many of my peers see that. I just put my head down and work through stuff to get to that outcome. So our values, education, loyalty, integrity, family, excellence, we take it, I take it and put it all back into the business. The business is a business, but it's also me at the same time. So when you're joining our firm, when you're joining Giselle and I, you're also joining myself and my life and our own endeavor as we move forward to help you accomplish your dreams, your goals with your financial endeavor.
And how can listeners reach you?
Websites, swe90.com. It should be live by now. By the time you hear this, it should be live. We've been doing the rebrand forever. swe90.com, Brett at swe90.com, or Giselle at swe90.com. And my direct line is 310-491-7045. Again, 310-491-7045.
Folks, this has been great. Thank you so much. And listeners, follow and subscribe to this podcast. You'll know when the latest episode is ready for you. And share it with friends and colleagues. Thanks for being with us. I'm Patrice Sikora.
Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass podcast. Don't forget to click the follow button to become notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through IFP Securities, LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice offered through IFP Investors, LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, a registered investment advisor. IFP and Strategic Wealth Endeavor INC are not affiliated. The views expressed are that of the host and are for informational purposes only, and in no event should be construed as an offer to buy or sell securities. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not take into account the particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs of individual investors. Neither IFP Investors LLC, IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, nor their affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. The information given herein is taken from sources that IFP Advisors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners,